Years ago, Tom and Lucia fell in love. He was a Princeton grad, an athlete and avid historian who traced his family lineage all the way back to Charlemagne. She, the daughter of an Argentinian diplomat, fluent in several languages, with a smile and a sense of humor that could melt the stoniest of hearts. They met at a dinner party in South America, where Tom was working undercover for the State Department. His warm, deep baritone enveloped her. Her sharp wit and brilliance dazzled him. Not long after they met, they were married, and Tom brought Lucia back with him to the United States, where they settled down and raised four children. It was the youngest of the four who became first aware that things were not quite right with Mom. When they were at the grocery store, he found himself more and more, the youngest one, reminding her what they needed to buy for home. And when she started making wrong turns after picking him up from school, he was the one to guide them home. But it was Tom who could no longer ignore that they needed to seek help. After fielding a frantic phone call from his wife one afternoon when he was still at work, she was downtown and had been walking around for over an hour by herself. She had no idea where their car was. She had forgotten where she'd parked it. The diagnosis was early onset Alzheimer's. And bit by bit, day by day, month by month, year by year, the disease marched steadily onward. And Tom watched helpless as his brilliant and beautiful wife eventually became a ghost of herself. Every now and then, glimmers of his Lucia would poke through the haze, a sly wink, a chuckle, a laugh. But the world that he and their family had built around her joyful, competent, loving, and rock-solid presence, well, that world was no longer. She had been north on the compass of their lives, and without her, they were disoriented and lost. Wilderness. You don't need to travel to the Badlands of South Dakota or to Gila National Forest in New Mexico or the Judean Desert in Palestine to find yourself wandering alone, disoriented, and lost. When the world as you know it not just changes, but ends with no turning back. When everything familiar is stripped away. When the rock solid ground that you always took for granted would be beneath your feet, well, that just falls away. The catalyst of wilderness comes in many guises. It can be an illness, a disease, the death of a beloved one whom you assumed or at least imagined would always be beside you. It may come as loss of employment or relocating to a new home. It may come as retirement or sending your last child off and away to school or college. Wilderness can be imposed upon us by situations and events beyond our control. Wilderness, can also be chosen. It can be entered into, even invited. Author and military veteran Ed McGaugh was born on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Ed writes of his own experience of wilderness as vision quest, an ancient and sacred ritual of his Lakota tribe, an intentional propelling into the unfamiliar and unknown in order to see more clearly, to hear and to understand and to know more deeply the essence of who you really are. I would walk to the top of a mountain by myself with my peace pipe, four little flags, and nothing else. I'd walk way up there and I'd fast and drink, no water, and then I'd sit down and I'd place my flags around me in a square, and then I'd stay in that square. If I had to go to the bathroom, I'd go away, of course, but then I'd come back, and that's it. I'd sit in my square and watch the sun come up in the morning and set at night. I'd see the moon come up all the phases of the earth and contemplate my life. When you're fasting, your mind becomes more alert. An eagle would hover right over me. Thunder and lightning would come by, lightning flashing all around. But I didn't fear nature or God when I was in that square on that mountain. The Great Spirit made me. Why would I be afraid? It is in this context of self-imposed wilderness, a chosen journey into the unknown and the unfamiliar, when all you know and all that is familiar is stripped away, in order to see more clearly and to know more deeply who you really are, that we might dance with today's scripture, chosen for this first Sunday of Lent. In today's gospel passage from Matthew, we encounter Jesus just after his baptism by John in the Jordan River. Jesus has just heard a heavenly voice proclaim, "This is my son, the beloved one." But what does this mean? We might imagine Jesus wondering. To hear these words is one thing, but to know it, to really understand, and to live into this truth and embody it, to have someone tell you who you are is one thing, but to really know and understand for yourself who you really are and what it means, what this means for your life and for your life's purpose. Well, this is a sacred and holy quest unto itself. So Jesus, with the words, "I am beloved," beloved, echoing in his ears, and the question, "But what does this mean?" echoing in his mind and in his heart. This Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasts for 40 days and nights. We recognize this number 40, don't we? We've heard this one before, that number, that same number of years that Jesus' ancestors wandered in the wilderness after departing Egypt when they were struggling with their own identity as a chosen people of God. Well, what does that mean? Scripture tells us that it is after this period of wandering and struggling and praying and dreaming and wrestling and questing and questioning and contemplating his identity, his purpose. Who am I? Who am I really? What does it mean to be beloved? What is my purpose in life? That Jesus encounters the tempter, the tester, the one who has his own ideas about what it means to be God, the one who has his own ideas about what it means to be of God, the one who has his own ideas about what power is and what power is meant for. "If you are the Son of God," this tempter says, this tester says, "then use your power, use it. Turn these stones into bread and feed yourself. For heaven's sake, if you are the Son of God," this tempter, this tester says, "then use your power. Fling yourself from the top of the pinnacle of the most holy site, the most religious site in Jerusalem. Fling yourself down, knowing that God will save you. What a spectacle that would be. Imagine what all the people would think and say about you. And if you are the Son of God, this tempter, this tester says, then use your power to rule and to reign over all the kingdoms and all the people of the world. If you are the Son of God, use your power. Is this who I am? We can hear Jesus asking. Is this what it means for me to be beloved? Is this my purpose? Is this who God created me to be? Or is my identity, the true essence of my belovedness, meant for something else, something different, something more? My brothers and sisters, we too are journeying through and living in our own collective wilderness, in our city, our nation, our world. Perhaps this coming 40 days may be for us too a holy time of questioning, of wrestling, of dancing with and dreaming with, contemplating the question, who am I? Who are we really? What does it mean for you and for me, for us to be beloved of God? Back to Tom and Lucia. Lucia did eventually die from complications of early Alzheimer's. Her children grew into strong adults. Through their formative time of wilderness, they did discover the essence of who they really were and are. And each embodied some quality of Lucia in his and her own unique way. One embodies her wit. The other embodies her warmth and compassion in a beautiful way. Another, her intelligence in a way that is uniquely theirs. Tom, at his heart, discovered that he was and is a being capable of loving and being beloved and enduring. And a family friend, a few days after Lucia died, had a dream about Lucia. This family friend envisioned Lucia dancing and free at the top floor of their home, free, joyful, and shining. A poem from Jan Richardson. Beloved is where we begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are. Beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of the sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us, bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
And with their curious insistence, whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Amen.